NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but the day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
I just got a text from KJ in Mountain Home. I guess outside of Bruce Dan, Nebradco Fishing, and Craig and Deere is also a Vols fan because he texts us in, go Vols. KJ, if you're actually a Vols fan, congratulations. I'm not the happiest about it. Hopefully my mood will lighten up as Bruce sent a beautiful picture of one of his grandkids last night and him celebrating the win. I'm happy for them, but I'm just still, again, mad that Tony Vitello got one before Dave did. Again, your reactions coming up in just a bit, including Ben, who's called in from Saline County. Before we talk to General Ben, I want to tell you about our friends at APAC Arcola. They've got job openings in the Boone, Marion, Baxter County, and Northwest Arkansas area. So if you're a licensed CDL driver, a heavy equipment operator, electrical, diesel mechanic, or you have any paving or concrete labor experience whatsoever, do this. If you're interested in a new job, do this. Jobs.crh.com. You can apply there. They offer top pay, a sign-on bonus, benefits including insurance, retirement, and profit sharing. Again, it's easy. Jobs.crh.com. That's where Tommy's brother, Teddy, has been working for quite some time. APAC Arcola and Standard Materials Group is an equal opportunity employer. By the way, Tommy is on vacation this week. I know we've gotten some text in about that. I don't know where he is, to be perfectly honest. My guess is somewhere around sand, but hopefully him and his family enjoy that vacation as we're going to enjoy a conversation with General Ben on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. What's up, General Ben?
Hey, man. It was a good game last night until I went to sleep and I didn't know who won till this morning. I had to call Google and find out who won the game. But it was really good and exciting, you know, the three games in a row and all that kind of stuff. And it really made me think about our loss whenever all we had to do was catch the foul ball. Sorry, I can't get that out of my mind. And no telling how many years ago that happened. But I believe there's a little teaching that goes on every year about, you know, who calls who off and that kind of thing. Because I got my theory as to how the ball could have been caught and us win the national championship. But I just asked this. I've wondered what y'all, I don't even have an answer for this, but what is it that y'all think we've got to do in order to win it all down at City Hall to sometime in the future? Or is there even an answer to that question? I know it's just, that's a question that's in my mind this morning.
Gentlemen, I think that's a fair question to ask. And I think it's, I don't know if disheartening is the right word, but it's not necessarily like I'm angry this morning. There are fans that are sad that they feel like a guy that's only been in Knoxville for 7 years versus Dave, who's been here since 2003, one's more deserving than another. What I learned early on in life from my father is life's not fair. And as an Arkansas Razorback fan, it hasn't been fair to you this last year. Think about what your football program, your basketball program, your baseball program did. That doesn't seem fair as diehard of a fan as you are and this fan base is. In terms of the question, what does Arkansas have to do to get over that hump? Well, first, like you said, you figure out what you do in a foul ball situation. Second, you got to hit, man. And I brought this up. 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024, Arkansas ranked outside the top 10 or worse in SEC batting average. That is not the equivalent to get you a national championship. I don't want to go in like a philosophical standpoint or like get into the nitty-gritty stuff, but the truth, the blunt, you got to hit better. You have to. And if whatever Dave and Nate Thompson elect to do moving forward, if they improve that area and they keep up their pitching, which has been very successful these last 3 or 4 years in that same time span, then they're going to have a chance. But if they continue to struggle in that area, then Arkansas is going to be a very good regular season team, a good postseason team, but not a great team like we witnessed last night in the Tennessee Volunteers. All right, let's bridge this conversation to our friend Chris Phillips, SEC Unfiltered host, owner, operator, sweeps the floors over there. Chris, you asked a relevant question last night. I mean, Tony Vitale's been to 3 of the last 4 College World Series. He just won his first national championship. Is this the best coach in college baseball right now?
Ty, first things first, man, appreciate you having me on. It's great to hear from you once again. And I would say yes right now. You know, I did my preseason head coaching ranking just for fun in the SEC. Obviously, we do that every year for every sport. And so did that for the SEC. And I ranked Kevin O'Sullivan number 1 in those rankings, admittedly, because I just felt like when you looked at Sully's track record, and I think this year he made me look really smart towards the end of the season when he pushed that Gators team to the College World Series appearances. But 9-0 in his last 9 Super Regionals, tie, and I think the model of consistency he's built in Gainesville is really unrivaled. But, I mean, I also did mention this when I had made that list. I think I had Tony Vitello 5th at that point, tie, and again, this was preseason of this year. If I were starting a program tomorrow, there's not a guy I would take other than Tony Vitello. I just think with the current climate of the game, I don't think there's a better coach for the current climate. I think with the way that he gets players, he's a player's coach. He embraces NIL. He embraces portal. And I love that, honestly, that like fiery side to him and the way that he backs his players. And I know it rubs some people the wrong way, but you want that guy on your side. I don't really want a guy that, you know, everybody feels warm and fuzzy about, makes everybody feel good. Like, as long as he makes the guys in my clubhouse feel good and our fan base, then that's all I really care about. So I would say right now, Tony Vitello's earned that right to say he's the best coach in college baseball. Obviously, it's, you know, you got to do it more than 1 year. But like you mentioned, man, when you look at what he's done and when you really put in perspective what he's done at a place like Tennessee, a place that, Ty, I mean, they have 550-win seasons in their history, and he has 3 of them.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, they have 1 national title. He has it. So, I mean, when you really think about what he's done, I think you can make a really fair argument. He is the best coach in college baseball right now.
And he was complimentary of Arkansas fans and their program last night. I was listening to his post-game press conference.
Yeah, even mentioned that Dave Van Horn, I heard him say that in the post-game, even mentioned the impact that Dave Van Horn had. And said that I think he even mentioned that Dave Van Horn, the best in the game. I mean, so he was extremely complimentary. I heard that as well of Arkansas's program, and he just said that he would not be in the position he was in, you know, without Dave Van Horn, which I thought was really cool.
So, Chris, let's touch on that real quick, because Arkansas fans are asking themselves this morning, why not us? Why not us? You have a perspective I think is interesting with South Carolina, with them winning in 2010. I bet a lot of South Carolina fans felt that same way, being the SEC and the juggernaut that it is in baseball and some success that other schools found in this league. Take us back to Columbia pre-2010, what that fan base felt, and then almost what changed when Ray Tanner was able to get over the hump, and how you maybe can draw some similarities to here in Fayetteville.
Yeah, Yeah, Ty, what's funny is I would say there's a lot of similarities because I'll never forget 2009, South Carolina was knocked out of the, I believe it was the Greenville Regional at East Carolina, and they lost the game that knocked them out in, like, dramatic fashion. I think it was actually extra innings, and they got beat on a walk-off. And the program had always been really, really good, Ty, but they were sort of like Arkansas, had never won a national championship, obviously. And there were people that were really starting to second-guess and think that, hey, the game has passed Ray Tanner by. South Carolina needs to go a different direction. Like, I remember these conversations vividly happening, which this feels silly to say now, but, you know, people were really starting to question, okay, maybe Ray Tanner's lost his fastball. And I think that's the difficult thing, Ty, is, like, you don't just need a great group of players, which equates to a great team, and then you need a great coaching staff. You just need to go on a magical run. I don't know how you tell a fan base, hey, guys, you got to kind of wait, hope, and pray that the baseball gods smile on you necessarily, because you need matchups to play out in your favor. I mean, guys, let's call it for what it is. I mean, Tennessee was the best team in college baseball this year. They earned that
national championship. Chris. They dominated.
They dominated. But they were also the beneficiaries of the fact that Texas A&M was shorthanded. But let's just call that for what it is, because I'm not saying it would have played out differently. But if Texas A&M would have had a healthy Braden Montgomery, who knows? You know, that's all I'm saying. So it's just things like that need to play out in your favor and not against you. Obviously, in the short term, I think Arkansas has got to get the hitting situated. They got to get the hitting fixed, right? I think that's probably when you look back at 2024, I think of the greatest shame for the Hogs is, you know, we followed them, obviously, and covered them all season long. And, I mean, that pitching staff was as electric as any. I mean, their frontline starting pitching would have gone up against anybody in college baseball. If they could have swung it like Tennessee, they would have won it all. I mean, they had the pitching top to bottom. So
they had,
you can get the hitting.
Chris, yeah. Just to add to your point, they had the worst batting average of any tournament team. Think about that.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, which is hard to believe, honestly. I mean, there's one thing to struggle hitting, but that's hard to believe for an Arkansas club. It really is. So, anyways, to your point, Ty, I mean, 2010 for South Carolina, they added a couple big-time freshmen. You know, they had a strong core of veteran leaders and veteran presence, but they added freshmen. They added a couple guys from the JUCO ranks, which, you know, kind of served as the transfer portal before the transfer portal, right? Added a couple key JUCO guys. And, again, they had freshmen like Christian Walker step up. And then when they got to, you know, they got to Omaha, they weren't the number one overall national seed, but, you know, they had a guy like Michael Roth emerge who became a hero in Columbia. Christian Walker, like I mentioned, with a couple clutch hits. Jackie Bradley Jr. had a couple, and, you know, they had to beat Clemson twice that year, and Omaha did. I mean, it's a mix of a bunch of different things, Ty. I mean, having a great team is just the start of it. You need to go on a run as well and catch fire. And so, you know, I know you believe the same as I do, Ty. Arkansas is more than capable of just win if will it ever happen.
Yeah, I hope so, man, because I honestly, so I've been saying this for a while now, 64-94, 2024, they won a football national championship in 64, basketball 94, I kind of thought they'd win a baseball one in 24, maybe it'll be a year later, we'll have to.
So, Ty, basketball or baseball, who wins one first, just to turn it back on you?
That's a great question. I think you might have
a lot of optimism with Cal.
Yeah, I think you might have to say basketball, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm watching this game last night, and there's a moment for me that I will remember for the rest of my life when it comes to Arkansas athletics in recent memory. It's so Arkansas has not beaten A&M but one time since they joined the Southeastern Conference, and that one time they beat them, Eric Musselman came down, Dave Van Horn came down, and there's a picture of Mus, Sam, and Dave Van Horn all together. That was, by the way, the same year that Mus took the team to the Elite Eight, first Elite Eight that Arkansas had since 95. The following postseason, Dave took the team to the College World Series. And it's that, like, bonded togetherness. I'm watching this last night. I see Rick Barnes up there. I see Peyton Manning. I see Morgan Wallen. I see Josh Heupel. And, like, Tennessee, we know, has had a really good basketball program. They finally, I guess, made it to, if I remember right, at the Elite Eight this year. I know regular season Rick has been something he's been trying to get over. Josh Heupel, they finally beat Alabama, something Arkansas was never able to do against Nick Saban. And then the baseball program wins a natty. When you look at, like, what Arkansas is in athletics department with the baseball program, with Cal's basketball, with Pittman, I mean, what do you kind of envision for the three major sports looking at Arkansas athletics, is there a cap for one of the sports specifically that maybe the other doesn't have?
I mean, Ty, admittedly, I would say probably football has more cap than any. You know, obviously, too, I think because we're at a place where Sam Pittman, we just don't know what the future looks like. You know what I mean? I mean, Dave Van Horn and John Calipari, Ty, it's very clear cut. Dave Van Horn and that program, we know what the expectation is, although it's never happened. It's to get to Omaha and win a national championship. Like, that's all they have left to do. And then, Ty, I don't think you hired John Calipari to just make the tournament. I think you hired him to compete for a Final Four and win a national championship, cut the debts down. Like, I think that's why you make that kind of move on that guy, and I think he's more than capable of building that in Fayetteville. So that brings us to Sam Pittman. And, you know, I think that we're in a really interesting place right now because all the chatter going to 2024, it's not about championships or even competing for playoffs. It's about doing enough to bring yourself back in 2025 and to keep your job. So, you know, when you talk about expectations for each of the programs, you know, I think for Arkansas football, I think for the faithful there, it's not just to compete for bowl games and just go win seven or eight games. Like when Arkansas football is really humming, guys, I mean, I think Arkansas is a place where you can get to the college football playoff. I'm not going to say over the course of a decade, more often than not, because I don't think that's even credit to how hard it is, but I think it's possible. But
especially with the 12 team, Chris, feel the same way about South Carolina too.
And we'll go to 14 teams as well in 2 years. So basically what I'm trying to say though, Ty, is like, I think that's a possibility. We need to know, okay, is Sam Pittman going to be the long-term answer or not? And if he's not, who is going to be? You know what I mean? That determines a lot of it. There's a reason they showed those head coaches on TV last night. It's when you got the right person leading the way, and I think Arkansas is a place, when you got the right person leading the way, it can start to hum the way we know it can. And when it does that, like we mentioned, Arkansas can be a team that fights the 12-team playoff, 14-team playoff, fighting to get to 9-10 wins. And we're having kind of the same conversations about the Hogs that we're having about teams like, you know, Missouri, LSU, Tennessee, some of these teams tied that in years past, we've just been kind of talking about, okay, going to be a nice 8-4, 9-3 team. Maybe if things click, go 10-2. Now that conversation continues to, they're going to do all that and can make a playoff. So, but I think the other two sports, John Calipari and Dave Van Horn, I think winning the national championship should be the expectation. I mean, that's why you have those two guys in those two positions.
Chris, last thing before I let you go, you mentioned kind of where Sam Pittman is. I want your vantage point. You're in Gamecock country. I know that there's different thoughts on Shane Beamer. You go down south to Gainesville, Florida, and I think Billy Napier has the hottest seat in the Southeastern Conference. Kind of where do you, with those three guys, and maybe you could toss someone else in there, where are you kind of feeling up on Beamer, Pittman, and Napier as we let you go?
Yeah, Ty, I'd put Beamer number three. I think the seat is warming. I don't think he's on a hot seat yet. I think there's real pressure to get back to a bowl game, but I think unless the wheels really fall off, a.k.a. 4-8 or worse, I think they're going to give him year five. I think they're going to give him 2025. I think most folks have circled year five as the year, fairly or unfairly, where it's got to pop. I think a lot of tie as well. How Shane Beamer's judged is what do they get out of the young quarterback Lenore Sellers. I think most of the fans have convinced themselves this guy is kind of the second coming. He is the answer. And so, you know, if that kid, for whatever reason, doesn't live up to the hype or underperforms, I think a lot of fans are going to point at the coaching staff. They're not going to point at the player. And again, I think, Ty, you guys have probably felt that too. And all SEC fan bases have, where it's like, okay, it's up to you to get the most out of this kid. That's your job. So, but I think Shane Beamer is going to be back in 2025 again, barring a disaster. Billy Napier, Ty, is really interesting to me because I think they need to get to a bowl game too, but it's just, I wonder what the number's going to be to where they boot him out of Gainesville, because you do have DJ Lagway waiting in the wings, and I think you're going to have to make a really difficult decision on, okay, we're going to have to play the same schedule next year, but it's flipped, and do we really want to run the risk of running off Billy Napier and DJ Lagway hits the portal? Because I've heard people compare this kid to Lamar Jackson. Like, they think he's that good. So maybe do you ride it out a little bit longer? I mean, it's weird to think about Florida sitting to another 5-7 season and kind of just biding their time and letting a Lagway show if he's the real deal. But I think that's going to be a decision they have to make. And then that brings us to Sam Pittman, Ty. And, you know, whose seat is hotter? I'd probably go Napier's because I think Gator fans are less patient, right? Sam Pittman built up a lot of goodwill early in his tenure there. But, Ty, when you look at that schedule, and you can look at it one of two ways. It's daunting. I mean, I think for Arkansas fans, they're probably tired of hearing about it because it's the same schedule that Arkansas plays every year. It's an SEC schedule. Nobody's got an easy one. But the home slate is something else. But there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, right, you play Tennessee, you play Ole Miss, you play Texas. I believe you've got LSU, if I recall correctly. Yep. I mean, you've got a bunch of big-time matchups on there where if you win one or two of those, Ty, those are going to be huge exclamation points on your season. But as we saw last year, there were home struggles, and I think there's been home struggles the last couple of years. It can go sideways in a hurry. That game against Oklahoma State week two I think is really pivotal. Beating Texas A&M, Ty, you and I have had these conversations. That's one the fan base desperately wants to get, especially against a year one Mike Elko. So I think there's a path to six wins, maybe even seven on that schedule. I think that's what Sam Pittman needs to do to show promise and show hope. And, you know, I think if he can do that and the offense is high-flying, Bobby Petrino's back in town, I think he can extend his stay in Fayetteville because there will be some good vibes. But, I mean, Ty, I think it'll be a missed bowl game and there's going to be a change.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
All right, let's get this over with. I had a feeling, based on the way Tennessee had been playing, that I might have to play this song when you came in at some point. National champions as of last night. Help me on that pitcher's name, that lefty that started for you guys.
Xander Seacrest.
Yeah, he was a dog last night. One of the things you and I were talking about during the commercial that I brought up in hour number one is there's that picture that sticks in my crawl of Sam Pittman, Dave Van Horn, and at the time Eric Musselman, who of course is no longer here, after Sam and the guys finally beat A&M in 2021. And it's like a look of togetherness. Last night, Josh Heupel, Tony Vitello, Rick Barnes, heck, Peyton Manning, Morgan Wallen were there too, but Tennessee Athletics, I hate saying this, is seems to be on the right track right now, and Arkansas's kind of going in the opposite direction, unfortunately.
You like seeing that togetherness. You like see Barnes and Heupel wearing that black jersey like the Tennessee players were winning last night. And, you know, you like the, I guess, the genuineness of the hugs after the game, Heupel coming over and giving him a big bear hug and picking Vitello up, and then Vitello insisting they get the picture before they break up. He wanted that moment with the other two coaches, and it's just good to see. You know, I noticed Morgan kind of slipped in and out a little bit. I don't know. He might have had to go to the restroom, but it was cool to see Peyton there. You know, that was a special night.
Yeah, I want to clip that. Here's Manny, what he had to say about Tony Vitello.
Awesome night, special night. Proud of Tony. Proud of this program. We've been knocking on the door these past several years, and we've had our hearts broken. Tony has, all these players have, and all the volunteer nation has bled with them, but we got over the hump tonight and did it, and it kind of makes all those heartaches worth it.
To bring this back to Arkansas, to Fayetteville, and to our baseball program, and I want your perspective on this. We've gotten plenty more of them already this morning. If you want to send them in, you're more than welcome. You can jump in with Bruce, myself, and Big C as well. Did last night give you like encouragement that Arkansas is like closer because another SEC program knocked down the barrier? Or does it just make it that much more difficult? I know NIL has changed things. I don't know how flush it that Tennessee is with cash. I would expect after last night, stroking checks ain't going to be a big deal for their athletics director, Danny White, or at least getting people to. But I wonder your vantage point of if it makes it more difficult for Arkansas to get that elusive national title.
Well, I'll say this. Over the last decade, no one's backing it up with a back-to-back natty. So you have this string of SEC teams going back to Vanderbilt. And then obviously, like you said, if we wouldn't have had the mess up out in the outfield, you've had every SEC national champion since 2017 from the SEC. Mm-hmm. So no one is putting together a dominant streak of winning championships. So, you know, from that perspective, if Arkansas, the portal works out, you get some bats in there, you get some power in there, and you keep maintaining the pitching staff, and you know you got a excellent coach and excellent fan base, yeah, why couldn't you? Because everyone seems to be rotating that natty and playing for the natty. You know, Arkansas just needs to get in that queue somehow. And then you get the breaks. You just get the right matchups. And, you know, this has been coming for Tennessee. It's two out of the last three tournaments. They're the number one seed. I think the team that lost in the Super Regional to Notre Dame was a more impressive team.
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah, Jordan Beck. I mean, that team was amazing. But you had five guys with over 20 homers, and, you know, everybody's talking about Texas A&M's pitching, and rightfully so. I mean, Chris Cortez, you know, if that sucker didn't get, you know, a little cramp, he had 100 pitches, it was 100 degrees, but man, Tennessee couldn't hit him. Mm-hmm. But the moment he got out of the game, you know, that opened up a little window. Aschenbeck, I think, just had to throw so many innings. Good hitting finally broke down, good pitching, you know, and he gave up three runs, and that was the difference in the game. It wasn't all the other people, it was their ace that gave up those three runs that got them beat.
Yeah.
But getting back to it, what you said, yeah, Arkansas's in the queue. Just can they get the bats going? Because you said it, they rank at the bottom of the SEC in hitting. You got to hit.
Last 4 years, 10 or worse in the SEC in batting average. They're the worst batting average of any tournament team this year. Now, J.R. Lowell, he's negative this morning, texting on the McCarty Dana hotline, said, hell no, Tennessee winning did not give me hope. Makes me feel like we're in a Georgia Mark Richt situation.
That's a bad place to be.
And he loves Dave Van Horn. And there were a lot of Georgia fans who are like, why are we firing this guy? And again, I want to be clear about that. In no way, shape, or form am I saying that Arkansas would be right to let Dave Van Horn go. I want to be, again, I don't want people to tie in or put words in my mouth or anything. But I do feel like last night, based on the feedback we've gotten in the first hour and a half this morning, maybe it will subside. Maybe we'll get more texts throughout the week that give us a better glimpse. But I feel like it's more negative skewed to how they feel about where this program is. I'm still of the belief that, like, if Tennessee can do it, which you guys have had term mixes. Burke was a Tennessee guy. Chris Burke's a Tennessee. I mean, it's not like they haven't had players. And while Tony has taken them to three of the last four, they've had tournament success before. It just hasn't been this concentrated. Arkansas has had a highly amount of concentrated success when you think about 2018, 2019, and 2022 being College World Series appearances. It's just it's a bummer the last two seasons have been early exits, especially in your home ballpark in the regional.
One thing I like, Vitello, you know, Tommy feels different about this when he's in here, but Vitello places a premium, kind of like Calipari, on the conference tournament, winning tournaments, winning regular season championships, building that winning culture is important for Vitello, just like winning regular seasons and conference tournaments is important to anyone at Kentucky in basketball. You know, I think, you know, you got to get in this frame that we're going to win. We're going to go on these runs. You know, it builds winning. You think you're supposed to win when you win. Look at Greenwood football. I mean, look at Northside Lady Bears basketball. I mean, winning begats winning. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you got to place a premium on some of these postseason tournaments and not just say winning one or two games is good enough, and then we'll go turn it on at the regional and super regional, because I don't think it happens that way.
Can't think about Kentucky basketball, which treats the SEC tournament. It's the Kentucky Invitational. You know that from being there many a times. I mean, that is, while we make fun of Kentucky, and be honest, full disclosure, I made fun of Cal for not having any tournament success really the last 5 years. There was a premium on winning that tournament. Now, the SEC basketball is more spread out than it used to be, and I'd argue SEC baseball is, because of the last four national champions, the fact that it hasn't been, like you said, a repeat. I think South Carolina was last repeat in 2010, 2011 with Ray Tanner. Florida got back there after 2017, but they lost.
Vanderbilt made back them and Virginia split, and then he won like four years, mm-hmm. Corbin did.
Yeah. So there, it's very spread out right now, which is a benefit for, again, not just Greg saying the Southeastern Conference. And you now think about Oklahoma and Texas, which muddies the water even more in baseball. More Texas than Oklahoma. But got to remember, Oklahoma was in the College World Series Finals 2 years ago, and they had a solid ball club this year. That's not a program that should be taken lightly when it comes to this sport either in baseball.
No, I mean, yeah, it just got tougher with Texas and Oklahoma. But, you know, someone's going to win every year. Someone's going to figure it out. And, you know, Arkansas's just got to figure out a way to make that happen.
Couple more texts on the McCarty Dana hotline. Bruce Emmett from Springdale probably can't chat who's your daddy at Tony Vitello anymore, since he's the one with the national championship and Arkansas does not have one. Justin from Fayetteville, this is just another example why Hogs fans suck, wanting to fire a winning coach because we didn't win a national championship this past season. Haven't really gotten a text about that, Justin. I don't think we will throughout the morning. But I get where they're coming from, the frustration, because you see a guy, like, listen to this. Like, I'm listening to Tony Vitello say this last night.
It's a lot of years of trying different things, including being as a player. So I'm so fortunate to be a part of it and happy.
He's been there since 2017. He's 45 years old.
He's talking about his personal career, you know, playing and being an assistant at Missouri, being an assistant at TCU in Arkansas. You know, I think he's just talking about his personal journey of what he's done to get here. Yeah, he's only been at Tennessee a few years. But O'Connell was only at Florida a few years. Corbin was only at Vanderbilt a few years when they got plucked out of Clemson. I mean, there's some great assistants out there, and some of these athletic directors are figuring that out.
Isn't that wild that those two assistants, because the Clemson head coach, whose name's I forgot. Both those guys won national championships. That guy had a lot of success, but I don't think ever won one, if I remember that right. So funny how that happens sometimes. Hopefully that's not a situation with Dave Van Horn here. One of the things I also took away from last night, again, to bring this back to what's going to happen in Fayetteville down the road at some point, whenever Dave does decide to hang it up, Tony's not leaving Knoxville.
He's not going anywhere.
Like, there was a thought, I think, by many a Razorback fan that believed, all right, once Dave left this, once he left the sport, Tony's going to come into Fayetteville. $100 million renovation last night, seemingly having the support. Again, that's not, when say, a tradition-rich baseball school. There's been baseball success. Yeah. You know more than I. But last night, like, sealed the deal. If Texas doesn't get Schlossnagel, I have no idea who they're going to get, because it's not going to be Tony Vitello that's going to be in the other burner.
They're going to restructure his contract. He's going to be paid $2 million a year plus. His after party had Peyton Manning and Morgan Wallen strumming a guitar. I mean, there's no one else that's going to be able to offer him what Tennessee's going to be able to pay him. And, you know, he's got Kavars Tears coming back. I mean, he's got a lot of players coming back. He's going to work the portal like he did this year. He's not going anywhere.
So what did you think about the news of Texas, again, putting it out there that they had let go? Or letting it be known, like, when Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball gets something, you know it's pretty rock solid. So he gets that, and I thought it was just like, why are you doing this? I know why Texas is doing this, because it's the most egotistical, not just fan base, but athletics department in the country. You've got the national championship of your sport, and you're trying to put news out there that outdoes the biggest moment in your sport each and every year.
Yeah.
And now it's
I mean, if this was the Cliff Gustafson or Augie Garrido days, it might have registered. But, man, it's irrelevant right now. They're not important in college baseball. You know, they're trying to generate news. We're sitting here talking about it in Arkansas. But it's a non-newsmaker.
Well, Schlossnagel got asked about it. I don't know if you've heard his response last night. It's pretty fire. Take a listen to this.
I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again. And that hasn't changed in my mind. And that's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question. But I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job. And I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job. And I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. So write that.
That's awesome.
He was pretty strong towards that question last night. Again, if you haven't heard the news, there's been plenty of a rumor mill, and you know what they say about rumors, but that Jeff Schlossnagel or Tony Vitello would be the next Texas head coach. He hadn't seen one of the big baseball guys come out and say it, but it's definitely something that people have been keeping an eye on. And then when asked about it, that was his final question and left the press conference.
You got beat reporters. I mean, everybody knows how this works. You used to have newsrooms and big newspapers. Like in Austin, they had the American Statesman. Dallas, you had the Morning News. You know, and the beat writers would be told, okay, we got a coach opening. Go give me the top five candidates. So, you know, you're a reporter, you're going and doing your job, and you write names. Okay, who's the best coaches in college baseball? Well, there's two of them right there because they're playing for the national championship. So, you know, a lot of that's just pure speculation. Nobody's talking to anybody. You know, there's no Woj in college baseball like there is in the NBA. So, you know, these guys are just doing their job and, you know, giving us stuff to talk about, giving you stuff to think about. I don't know how often that stuff's right. I'd say most of the time it's wrong.
Yeah, and again, to go back to what you're saying about that, I'm curious what ends up happening to that job, because, again, with Texas and Oklahoma joining the league, seems like Texas would try to swing for the fences with their baseball program. We'll see if they're able to make contact with that moving forward.
Well, maybe, Ty, they should do what some of these other schools have done and hire a really good assistant, and they might win a national championship, because it seems to be working for some of these SEC schools.
Yeah, it's definitely paid off for some of them, particularly the one that we just saw win last night. Bruce, we're 66 days out from Razorback football. I know that there's excitement also Knoxville with Nico and what that offense looks like. I'm watching Josh Heupel and Rick Barnes and company. I wonder when you think about this upcoming SEC season with the first games with Texas and Oklahoma being featured. What should Arkansas fans' expectations be with Sam Pittman this year? Because I'm just of the belief they need to make a bowl game. Maybe that's too low of an expectations. I feel pretty strongly about that. That would show progress to go from 4 wins to 6 wins to not, like, they competed so hard on the road last year, but just got obliterated at home by a bunch of teams. That's kind of, where are you kind of falling in 66 days out before Arkansas suits up and plays their first game?
I mean, the good news, you don't have Georgia or Alabama, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's two losses, two automatic losses you're not going to have on your schedule. I think you just kind of pump the brakes and you don't get over enthusiastic. You know, you're not going to go 12-0. You're probably not going to go 11-1. But can you beat a Tennessee at home? Can you steal a game that maybe you're not supposed to win? And can you go 8-4 or 9-3 and be on the fringe of that 12-team playoff and be, I guess, in the conversation heading into November? Can you win enough games early, not choke in any of your non-conference games? Like, you got to win the Oklahoma State game to be relevant. Otherwise, yeah, you're playing for 6-6 or 7-5. That's a big game for both those teams because Oklahoma State's under a lot of pressure. They think they're going to win the Big 12 mm-hmm. because everybody else, the power teams are gone. So they're going to feel pressure to win that game. Arkansas is going to feel pressure. Well, we got to win this game to get those 4 non-conference wins. So, you know, winning early, you'll have a chance. You lose that game, then you're under pressure.
They got like a seventh-year quarterback. I asked about him yesterday. His name's escaped me. They got like a seven-year quarterback with the best running back in college football.
They do have the best running back.
All their offensive line back, pretty much all their pass.
And you're playing in Stillwater.
Yeah, but Oklahoma State's not good at early in the year, which I guess is the only positive thing you can pull out of that game.
I guess the biggest question is, what will Gundy's hair look like this game? Is it going to be a mullet? Is he going to shave it off? I mean, it's always...
I think
puzzling.
We were talking with Chuck about this last week, and he made a good point. I didn't think about this aspect. He always brings up things that I don't necessarily think about. I thought Oklahoma State might be the biggest program to benefit of almost any team in the country based on conference realignment, because the two power brokers in that league, Oklahoma and Texas, have now left and they're apart. But he brings up, like, that's two less, like, regional schools that you can get Texas or Oklahoma kids to recruit because they will play another game in Norman, another game at that. For a team like Utah, for example, that has recruited a lot of California schools and out west and then Hawaii and stuff, that the recruiting aspect is going to be so fun to watch these next few years. The negative recruiting towards USC, who's a prominent school, but they'll have to travel all over the place to the Big Ten. SEC schools really aren't affected. You can't really recruit negatively on travel in the Southeastern Conference because Texas and Oklahoma are, well, they're not all the way regional. It's not too far away.
I mean, it's not that much of a difference from Gainesville to Fayetteville as it is from Gainesville to Norman or Gainesville to Austin. I mean, everybody takes airplanes now, so was an extra 15 minutes in the air. So that doesn't mean anything. I agree with you, especially this year on Oklahoma State with the team they have coming back. If they don't go undefeated or just lose one game on their schedule, I think if they do any worse than that, it'll be a disappointment because they had this opportunity to make the playoff, win the Big 12. Long term, I think it's going to be tough because coaches are going to negatively recruit. 5 stars aren't going to want to go to the Big 12.
Yeah.
5 stars are going SEC, Big Ten. That's the only place they're going, mm-hmm. you know. So that's the problem with the Big 12. It's going to be probably pretty good this year. And then as we go through these recruiting classes, they're probably going to be a notch below where a good SEC or a good Big Ten team is going to mm-hmm. be going forward.
66 days out till Razorback football, and then we've got basically 68 days out till the first college football Saturday of the season. Don't have to worry about watching the Razorbacks on that day. Hopefully they blow out UAPB on Thursday night, and then you got a full day to sit on that lazy boy or the couch or whatever you make haven on those college football Saturdays.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'll give Bruce credit. I was curious what kind of approach you take with us this morning. Did not necessarily follow his team's approach with the over-top braggadocious style. He's very concrete, very straightforward. Had a Tennessee polo on, but appreciate him joining us as always. All right, Hog update time. Apparently, Cal's found himself a house. A little bigger than mine, just a little bit, which is kind of funny. Apparently, it's near Musselman's house as well, but Fayetteville Flyer, I guess, had this report. Sounds like the his house in Lexington is still up for sale, but I was just looking at this. It's like you're getting like the same house in Fayetteville versus the same house in Lexington. It's like $1.7 million cheaper, or $1.6. I don't think people understand. And I know Northwest Arkansas people, you listening in Northwest Arkansas this morning would tell you, well, the prices are going through the roof, but still relative to other big cities, not just the SEC footprint, but other places, it is wild what you can get. And Northwest Arkansas continues to grow, and hopefully it continues to grow because I think that only helps your athletics department, the state, and Arkansas as a campus and a college overall moving forward. Hagan Smith wins another award. Drink. He wins the American Baseball Coaches Association, it's a mouthful, Rawlings National Pitcher of the Year. It's his third pitcher of the year this season. He's a four-time All-American, and he's a guy that you really like. We had Jonathan Papelbon on yesterday, and the former World Series champ has watched a lot of Hagan this season. Here's what he had to say specifically about the lefty from Arkansas. Where'd it go?
I've watched the Hagan kid pitch quite a bunch, actually. And obviously, he has the big league caliber stuff. So there's no question about it. But as far as being a lefty, he goes out there, he controls the game. And when you look at a young kid, for him to be able to go out there and control the game, what I mean by control the game is the pace is on him. Everything about the game that he pitches in is based upon what he does. Yeah, he's a fun kid to watch.
He is a fun kid to watch. And again, that's a guy that knows what it takes to not just pitch in the Southeastern Conference, but also in the major leagues. And I misspoke yesterday. I think him and Nick Schmidt just missed each other, but he was a part of some good Mississippi State teams back in the day. And also, in addition to having compliments for Hagan Smith, also said the good things about Bob Walker Stadium.
Obviously, the fans there being loud, but it was very comparable to Duty Noble Field and going to play at the Dude, you know. So I always thrived in those type of atmospheres. So Arkansas was awesome to play at, man.
Bomb Walker Stadium goes off. Yes, it does. Unfortunately, it's going to be a while till February until it goes off again. Last baseball note for you this morning. Arkansas got another baseball commitment. Landon Bichelvis. I should just call him Landon B. Some of these guys, I have to listen to like what Phil says or Chuck says. I listen to like them an interview or something. I still butcher it, but here's what you need to know about him outside of me not knowing how to pronounce his last name. He's a top five portal guy at virtually every service. He was a starting pitcher for Ohio State last year, had a good ERA, 15 starts, and was a guy that was highly coveted. And he's coming to Fayetteville, or at least he's committed right now. Not signed, I don't think, just yet. So hopefully he lands in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and he's a guy that has an impact on this team this next season. Last thing here in your Hog update, probably the one I'm looking forward to the most. The Big O, Oliver Miller, 2024 Southwest Conference Hall of Fame class. Man, oh man, it was fun to watch him play.
That's Paul Wittinger from Fort Worth, Texas. Number 25, Oliver Miller.
Deal. And a Big O with a power move.
Boy, Arkansas is getting every offensive board, and the basket goes down. Miller's the basket will come.
Boy, that turned the crowd on.
Oh, hey, inside to Miller, the Big O.
Wow.
The Big O. Again, a guy that had a huge impact for Nolan Richardson in his kind of first few years of Arkansas basketball. Think about this. All right. So you got Rod Brewer, Darryl Walker, Marvin Delph, Todd Day, others that are part of the Southwest Conference Hall of Fame. I don't know why it took 32 years, Southwest Conference, but finally going to be inducted Tuesday, August the 13th. He's your all-time leader in field goal percentage, like 64% block shots. He's top 10 in points, top 5 in rebounds, Southwest Conference Coaches Player of the Year. He's just a dude. Drafted 92, along with our trivia question earlier, Isaiah Morris, Todd Day, and Lee Mayberry. And he's already a part of the Arkansas Sports Hall of Honor and Southwest Conference Legends Class. So congratulations to Oliver. Knock on wood, we get him on this week. I'd love to talk to Big O. Never done it before. He's a guy that I would definitely like some insight from on back in the day, and then also his thoughts on John Calipari. All right, that is your Hog Update. It's brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
All right, let's talk to Brian, who's in Ozark this morning on the McLarty Daniel. Oh, is he hung up? Okay. Brian has called in once or twice this morning. Guess he just hung up. I don't know if he wanted to talk Texas. That would be my guess if I had to pick one conversation that he started with. All right, again, congratulations to Oliver Miller and that class and the upcoming class he just had. Coming up, we're going to talk with Tom Murphy, Whole Hog Sports, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. We've also got our Lindsay and Associates Pro Hog update, pro baseball stuff, some football to look forward to as well. Speaking of football, I referenced our Jonathan Papelbond interview that we had yesterday. We also had on Eric Galco, who heads up the East-West Shrine Bowl, seniors, kind of like the Senior Bowl, that type of thing. And he was pretty honest about Arkansas's offense. And in particular, if I wanted to hone in on something specific, what you have in the pass catchers, and Luke Haz, and Isaac Tesla, and Isaiah Satanian, probably my favorite of the group, not outside of Luke, is Andrew Armstrong. Think about 93% of your returning production from that unit. It's a pretty big deal. And Eric Galco, he noticed that.
Armstrong and Tesla especially are two guys that I'm excited about to see again just because they were transfers a year ago. And I think we kind of underestimate sometimes those small schools to FBS transfers maybe takes a year to kind of get settled. So if the receiver room is deep, I'm excited to see kind of stepped up there. But you're right in that he's going to have a lot of weapons to throw to. And I think he'll get a chance to kind of figure out who he works best with in this offseason. Coach Petrino and that offense will figure out, hey, who are the best quarterbacks around him consistently too. But then you add in the fact that they've got a good running game still and Jaquinnon Jackson coming in from Utah is extremely talented and has out of the backfield potential. They've added three reinforcements on the offensive line, including Carmona at left tackle, who has a chance to be an NFL player as well too. So they've really kind of fortified a lot of key depth at running back, receiver, offensive line. Certainly Luke Haz coming back is super helpful at tight end as well too. A lot of pieces. We'll see who kind of arrives at the top and is their number one, number two, number three option. But I think Taylen Green will not have a shortage of opportunities to kind of make plays downfield and keep driving with this kind of depth of offense and the offensive line talent.
You heard him talk about Luke Haz there. Chuck, we were talking about the end of this conversation yesterday, and Chuck made the point, this is one of the best football players you've had in quite some time. And the good thing about anytime Chuck says something like that, this is a guy that not only gets to watch him during games, has a very, like, just a high IQ from a broadcaster standpoint of just watching particular players over the years, but he gets a sense from coaches like Sam Pittman and others on what kind of caliber player that you have in the tight end room. We've seen what Bobby Petrino did with DJ Williams. Hoping the track record continues with this young Luke Haz will be entering.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
If your small business is booming, you might say,
cha-ching!
But you should say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there!
And we'll help your growing business.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding in your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you ready to give your family the best 4th of July experience yet? USA Fireworks wants to make that happen. Go to hitthatline.com/USAFireworks and enter for your chance to win a $1,000 fireworks show. It's $1,000 wholesale of fireworks worth more than $2,000 retail. Again, hitthatline.com/USAFireworks. The USA Fireworks banging giveaway, courtesy of USA Fireworks, ESPN Arkansas, and hitthatline.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
All right, Big C. What's going on in the world of Razorback sports? And now just Major League Baseball until we get to NFL football season.
All right. Drew Smyly for the Chicago Cubs. In his last seven games, he is 0-1 with a 1.04 ERA in seven games pitched. He's pitched 8 2/3 innings, allowed 8 hits and 1 earned run. He has 10 strikeouts. And now for James McCann, got those two mixed up. He is on the Baltimore Orioles, and he is probably one of the better Razorback baseball players, the more veteran-laden player in the MLB right now. 21 at-bats in his last seven games, 3 hits, 1 home run, 1 RBI, 9 strikeouts. He is batting 143. Dominic Fletcher, who you heard in that clip just then, he is on the White Sox, and he is got 16 at-bats in his last seven games, 1 hit, 6 strikeouts, and he's not batting for a great average, but for some reason the White Sox keep playing him, and I think he's got a bright future.
At center field, a guy that we saw at Arkansas, could absolutely hit the you-know-what out of a baseball, speedster. When you look at him, you're like, that dude doesn't look that fast, and then you actually see him when he was going for a fly ball or whatever. He's got on the base paths. He's got some speed to him. He's Cali kid, definitely his baseball and his blood and his DNA with his brother. I know his brother was on, I believe, the Angels, if I remember that right. I don't know where he's at now, but it's something that we saw here at Arkansas, and hopefully we continue to see in the majors as well, Big C.
All right. In his last seven games, Isaiah Campbell, pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, he is 0-1 with a 17.47 ERA in seven games pitched, 5 2/3 innings. He's given up 13 hits, 11 earned runs, and he has 5 strikeouts.
As Zayday, I was always looking forward to Friday nights in 2019. He was a guy, you didn't know what you had after Blaine Knight. Isaiah was the third guy in that rotation the previous year. It was Casey Murphy, I think, night two, Rodgers kid, and then really came on. So another KC kid. We talk about Kansas City's importance for baseball. Overland Park, if I remember correct, and hopefully that pipeline continues from the Kansas City area to Arkansas baseball because it's been a big part, no question about it.
Another player that's on the White Sox along with Dominic Fletcher, kind of cool to see two Razorbacks on the same team, even though the White Sox not having the best year. Andrew Benintendi's having an okay year. In his last seven games, he's had 20 at-bats. He's had five hits, one home run, two RBIs, and he struck out five times. He's batting 250, which isn't bad for a player in the MLB.
Yeah, he's a guy that had a home run last week, if I remember right. He continues to show that he has some power from time to time. I still remember the plays he was making as a Boston Red Sox early on in his career, and probably is going to be in the majors for a handful of years to come.
Now, Brian Anderson, he is now on the Atlanta Braves, and in his last seven games, he's had five at-bats and two strikeouts. Hasn't done much with the bat lately, but he's a guy that's been in the league for a while. And I know there for a while he was on the Marlins, and he was one of their better players. He's just kind of on a new team right now, and I'm sure he'll get things figured out.
Yeah, so baseball-wise right now, Arkansas doesn't have, like, maybe necessarily the stars. I think basketball is a little further along with some of the guys that have stepped up. You've got some guys coming down the pipe. We will be talking pretty soon about Hagan Smith and Peyton Stovall and where they end up. Maybe we get into some draft projections next week. I can't remember if it was Ruskin and Zach or halftime yesterday talking about Hagan potentially the Royals. It'd be pretty cool to see him in a Northwest Arkansas natural uniform. Have no idea what the Royals are thinking in terms of their draft pick. But I know for close to home, right here in Northwest Arkansas, you'd love to see Hagan playing at our best ballpark.
A guy that's kind of underrated in the MLB. He's on the Colorado Rockies, also not a great team, but he is quietly performing well. He's got two wins and one loss in his last seven games, a 2.16 ERA in seven games pitched. He's pitched 8 1/3 innings, given up six hits, two earned runs, and he's got five strikeouts, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, again, a lot of guys that are in the league right now just don't have that main star, and you might have one. Again, we've seen I don't know if it's fair to expect a Hagan to do what Paul Skeens has done, but that would be cool to see how quick it takes for Hagan to make the major league. So we know he's going to play there. He's not a minor league pitcher. That guy's got stuff to be a major league pitcher and to see what else he's able to do moving forward. And we bring in Tom Murphy here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline this morning. Tom, appreciate you jumping in with us as always. You, of course, probably got it to take in what happened in Omaha last night. How should Arkansas baseball fans feel about their former assistant, Tony Vitello, winning? It's only been there 7 years, three of the last four College World Series he's been a part of, number one seed, won the SEC tournament. What's your sense of how Arkansas fans should and maybe are feeling this morning?
Right, and good morning, everybody. Well, I don't want to tell anybody how to feel, but I'm aware that there are fans who are probably still, you know, upset or frustrated with Tony that, you know, they had the flare-up on the field in Knoxville when Arkansas was winning 2 or 3 a few years ago. But, you know, Dave Van Horn has since said they're all good, and, you know, this is alpha dudes doing their thing, you know, and high-stress competition of the recruiting, and I'm sure they're still good. So here's the way I feel about it. Tony was good to me while he was here. He's an intense guy. You know, his brand, and I've said it on the show before, it's gonna carry on. Even if they hadn't won this, he's got a good thing going. And I don't know if there's been any news overnight that, you know, Texas is hard after him, but if I'm Tony Vitello, I'm building a legacy in Knoxville for now. So we'll see. But anyway, how should Arkansas fans feel? Well, probably happy that one of Dave's top proteges has gone on and won a national championship. And honestly, you can't help but reference 2018 and how Arkansas should have won that one. And then the SEC streak will, you know, be extended one more year, actually. And you got the sense from Tennessee this season that the team they had 2 years ago that was the best team in the country, number one all the whole way, they were kind of fighting to remedy, make good on that. Just like Arkansas, in 2018, they came back in 2021 and had the best team. It's just that Arkansas hasn't had the chance to come back and remedy that situation.
You referenced the Texas job, which they let go of David Pierce, their baseball coach. There are rumors flying around in Omaha that it's either going to be Vitello or Schlossnagel that gets named. Schlossnagel got asked about it. He was not happy. Left the press conference directly after that question. Tom, in your mind, could you see either one of them taking the job at Austin, Texas as the head baseball coach?
Well, me and some of the guys around who cover the Razorbacks yesterday had this discussion. And how Texas was it that on the day of the national championship that the Pierce thing goes down? If you're going to do it, can't you wait a day? I don't know what caused the timing of it, but not
arrogance.
Really cool.
Arrogance, Tom. That's what caused it.
It really is. That's not cool. It brings a bad light on the program, honestly. And if I'm either one of those guys, and I've already talked about the Tony thing. I mean, he's the man in Knoxville, Tennessee. He brought the first championship since T. Martin in the football program in 98. If I'm Jim Schlossnagel, I know he's good friends with Chris Del Conte, but he's got a nice thing going at A&M, and he's only been there, 3 years now?
Yep.
And so I don't know if I would do that. Just the fact that it happened on the day you're playing in the national championship would rub me the wrong way.
I'm with you 100%. Tom Murphy is our guest, Whole Hog Sports, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm curious what your buddy Kurt Bowles is hearing in terms of who covers the Longhorns for the Austin American Statesman. What's going on there? And I know that you guys are probably going to be having more conversations often, Tom, with July 1st, next Monday, Texas and Oklahoma officially join the Southeastern Conference. I'm of the belief, Tom, that Oklahoma's going to struggle right off the bat. I think they might have 5 or 6 losses on their schedule, looking at what they have ahead. How do you feel about the Sooners and the Longhorns in year number one, football-wise, in this league?
Well, it was one of the early dominoes in this latest kind of round of the major conferences starting to separate themselves and pull away and move toward greater autonomy. And if you read any of Ross Dellinger from over the weekend, that's the way things seem to be going. And the SEC obviously got to snap up two of the biggest traditional programs and with huge coffers in the country and keep their quote geographical footprint intact. I'm more of a traditionalist. I wasn't that happy when A&M and Missouri joined the league. It broke away from the 12, but I guess the conference leaders sensed at that time that this is the way things are going. I don't know if there's ever putting the genie back in the bottle on the direction college sports is going. Mm-hmm. I don't want to conflate that issue with what you asked me. So I'll just say this. It puts Arkansas in, both of these schools have huge budgets, have great football traditions, and OU's winning a lot of other championships, in women's gymnastics and softball. They've got a pretty good all-around program. So it's a greater competition, and I'm not going to be a fan of the one set of standings in football. I think it's stupid.
Oh, I agree 100%. I know we were going off on it a week or so ago. Right in lockstep with you, Mr. Tom Murphy. I want to ask Arkansas football. So we had this guy, Eric Galco, on yesterday. He heads up the Shrine Bowl, basically. East-West, seniors, bunch of guys he gets to scout and look at. We talked Taylen Green. I think people are excited about him. One of the guys, not that Taylen wasn't a big deal, but I'm really excited about Jaquinnon Jackson, Tom. You got a chance to watch him in spring. Injured a lot in Utah and Salt Lake City. Talked about that with you and others in the media sessions. What kind of piece do you think he is as an addition, especially losing Rocket Sanders in South Carolina and Augusta to Deion Sanders in Colorado?
Yeah, and A.J. Green.
That too, yep.
To Oklahoma State. But yeah, I think he's a huge piece. We saw in the spring game that he turned a pass into a touchdown with a little wiggle to him. And so he's going to be a dangerous guy. I think he's a rugged enough guy to go between the tackles. I don't know if he's, you know, quite the home run hitter if he gets a crease on the edge, but he's just going to be really solid. And I think with he and DeBenyon, you got a great 1-2, and then there's other pieces like Braylon Russell and so on. But I think JaQuindon Jackson is going to be have a chance to be one of the better backs in the SEC because he played through that ankle injury last year. And Arkansas just had so much turnover on key skill positions that you do wonder how it will all come together. They're not going to be, you know, well-regarded. I guess we're going to pick the conferences 1 through 16. So I'm imagining they're going to be 12 or lower on what the media picks Arkansas to finish.
I would guess you're probably right on that. Tom, last thing before we let you go, we got about 30 seconds here. UCA and Little Rock, it sounds like, according to John Rothstein. We got multiple non-conference games already set. This is the one outside of Oakland that sounds like it's going to be played in state. What do you think about this seemingly being on Arkansas' schedule as we let you go here?
Yeah, love it. You got to keep, you know, the fact that they dropped the in-state deal, the ban on scheduling them has been really good. We're going to get a big football game with Arkansas State here in 25. That's really key for Arkansas. So I like it. It's good for everyone involved in the state.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.